Well, howdy, y'all. So the other night, I had a really interesting experience. I couldn't sleep, and I'm a part of this... thank you, car. I'm a part of this secret Facebook group. That makes it sound mysterious or anything, but I guess it's just a private group that discusses religions and tries to figure out some common ground and see what we can figure out. There's people that study the Bible. There's people that are quantum physics or Hinduist, you know, all kinds of different theologies. And we're all just discussing different things and see if we can find how all of this stuff correlates, which is something exactly like I've wanted to do. And that's the perfect group for me. But there was this certain person on here, and I won't name them because I didn't ask them to make this episode, but I think it's really important because something kind of magical happened, and I'll walk you through it. There was someone who was, their specialty was the Bible, and you could tell that they've done a lot of research on the Bible, but anytime anybody would say anything to them, it would be very, this person would respond to them with a very much of an attitude of like, yeah, whatever you're saying is not right because it's not in the Bible, so... fuck you. And they were kind of aggressive about it too. And so eventually this one night was like, okay, I guess tonight's the night I'm going to call this person out. And I want to take you through our conversation that happened. And because I think it's a really important example of how we should think about how we talk to people and how we can connect with people that don't seem like you can connect with them. Because as I've said, one of the most important things we need to do right now is figure out how to reconnect as human beings. I'm Sig Neutron, and this is Sig Neutron Spewtron.
Sig Neutron Spewtron.
Sig Neutron Sleazy Spewtron.
Ah, you like how I didn't subject you to the whole theme song? Yeah, I've been getting some feedback, so see, I do listen to feedback, and I think a lot of people weren't digging listening to the entire theme song every episode, but you know what? And I was fighting it, and I was like, Randy kept telling me, like, you shouldn't play that whole song, but I'm like, it's really good, I love that song, though. So it was really self-indulgent, and you know what? I figure... almost 30 episodes is enough to subject you to the entire theme song. So if you like it that much, you can go back and listen to episode 1 through like 29 or something and enjoy the theme song. But yeah. So, all right. So it's late. Can't sleep because I actually drank coffee that day for the first time in fucking forever. And I don't know. I kind of go with the flow of life these days. And I was like, you know what? I feel like I should dive into this conversation. So, as I've said, this person, let's just call him Joe Bob, because I like that name. That's in no way his name, but we're just going to call him Joe Bob. So, Joe Bob spent a lot of time being kind of aggressive about the Bible, and that's the entire point of this group, is to see what we can learn from everybody from their different point of view points and see what we can collectively come together as understandings. And I didn't feel like this guy was kind of following the rules, and I was like, why is this guy even in the group? So he said something, and into which I responded. I was like, okay, I guess this is where I'm gonna be nice about it, but let's kick this off. So I say to Joe Bob, I agree with a lot of what you last said, except for I believe this is bigger than Jesus, just Jesus Christ. He is most certainly an important part of it all, but this is all much, much bigger. To which Joe Bob responds, I don't understand where you're basing these comments from. The New Testament was provided and explains our last covenant with God, which our sins were atoned with by the blood of Christ. Even if there was much more, who's to say any human has access to it? You're speaking of what might be beyond Christ. Wouldn't you know that when you've achieved more than Christ has, which no man ever has? I thought it was bigger than Christ initially, but I've come to learn Christ as the man was simply the way, the spiral of change to help humanity from looping over its continuous justified mistakes. The more you learn of him, the more you understand of the truth and life itself. Christ and God and everything of creation are the same. It is not that what you have witnessed is greater than Christ, but more so you are not ready to trust that one is truly responsible and caring for all. That one is of all and all of that one. That one is leader yet servant of all, and that one is without beginning nor end. on all our parts, what repulses us from Christ is a desire to hold on to our separate identities, of which are not sustainable. This is conclusive even by the measure of time and the body's decay. Our only true purpose for life is a chance for redemption, a chance to do, want, and understand good. Ultimately, a chance to walk back to God because He is the only existence that is truly God, or good. I kind of agree with some of these things you're saying here. Like I said, I believe there is a creator God that through the other deities have they're the next generation. And yeah, I definitely believe that the Christian God is a part of all of this, but it's the Bible is only a fraction of the story of what we're really experiencing. And then some of the stuff, let's see. All right, so I say to him, to Joe Bob, I'm in no way going to say you are wrong. I only want to help you understand. To answer your question, you totally have the right idea and you are thinking on all the right concepts, but you have your lens focused directly on Christ. I believe he was an integral part of trying to save humanity, but the problem is the true message of Jesus got purposely edited out of history because the church wanted to keep control of the people. Jesus was telling us we are all divine, and the church didn't like that. Mankind's truest power lies in its collective belief. We shape our reality, but the church set the rules we confined ourselves to. So they edited out all those parts about us being divine and powerful, and luckily we found the Nag Hammadi Library and other such literature. To see the true big picture, you have to look beyond the Bible, which initially was the word of God, but was thus edited by man and lost to history. Again, the Bible is a part of it all, but it's not the full story. So Joe Bob says, interesting theory. May I ask how familiar you are with the New Testament and what evidence you have for the Bible scripture being changed for manipulation? This is commonly assumed, however, the evidence does show that it is the most translated text in history, this indicating the importance of the document, and despite this, it is still the most accurately translated text in history. So even with the far greater likelihood for manipulation, it remains accurate to other copies of varying languages throughout history, and more so than any other piece of text. Have you truly studied the Bible, or have you simply Google searched what applies to you? Good points, but I'm not sure how he, at this point, believes that the Bible has not been lost in translation and edited and changed. Inversely, as much as he believes why I haven't studied it. And to be honest, I have not read the Bible. I've done lots of research from various sources about the Bible, but I haven't read through the whole thing, so I'm admitting my own fault on that. Joe Bob says, on what I was speaking about earlier, it's not in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, then it's not entirely true. The Bible always has been and always will be the truth. It has not changed. Make up what you want about it, lie to yourself, and say it's been manipulated, but the truth is you don't wish to read the only book that will ultimately answer all of your questions. That is the pettiness of you alone. You will find no firm believer that says he or she is the source of knowledge or understanding, but that they are spoken through and a vessel for God. To which I say, Joe Bob, just to put it out there, I'm trying to be respectful of your views, but I don't appreciate being called petty and being told I'm lying to myself. The purpose of this group is to learn from each other's viewpoints, but if you believe you have all the answers in the Bible, may I ask what it is you intend to gain from being in this group? Did you look up the Nag Hammadi Library? Did you dig into Gnosticism or Hermeticism? Or did you just clap back at me without even trying to learn something from what I said? The article you posted talks in length about the historical accuracy of the Bible. I never questioned the historical accuracy. If you reread my comment, I said the Bible was as we know it today, has had a lot of all the spiritual guidance of who we are and what we're truly capable of, removed and tweaked to keep us subservient to the church and live our lives in constant shame and sin that we must constantly repent from. I'm more than happy to provide you with multiple resources to back this up, but will you take the time to read them? Because judging from your rigid tone, you'll just regurgitate more Christian talking points and not even try to take away anything from what I'm trying to impart to you. If you're a part of this group, the whole point is to see what you could take away from someone else's viewpoint to enrich your own spiritual views, not belittle people because you already have all the answers. And again, my tone is a little bit more loaded because I don't want to find all of the instances, but this person has been very aggressive with everybody to the point of like nobody else really wanted to say anything because they were trying to be polite. So Joe Bob says to me, I never said I have all the answers, but I did say all the answers are provided in the Bible. If you're willing to go to every other source and learn about it, but not read the only source that is literally a manual to life, it's even called the Book of Life, then what are you doing but wasting your time? I mean, he does have a point. I haven't read the Bible. You're making up an idea about God and the Bible that has no statutory evidence. I'm not in this group to hear people claim they have the answers and then run on some tangent that contradicts itself. I'm here to hear people justify each other and call it truth. I'm not here to hear people justify each other and call it truth. I'm here to explain why all the questions you have in reality lead to God, and the only way to Him is through Jesus Christ. And to hear your arguments is so for me to refer to the Bible over the nature of your questions as to strengthen my own knowledge of the Bible and my own selfish doubts. I think he meant he's trying to not strengthen his own selfish doubts, but you know. So he's admitting here that he does have doubts. Just want to make note of that. He continues, I don't think you really get how absolute everything that is written in the Bible actually is. It's not open to interpretation, not in the slightest. Fact of the matter is, we're all sinners. Don't pretend like you're good. No one is. Only God. So yeah, the reaction to realizing this and accepting it is to get on your knees and beg for forgiveness and continuously. Do you really think you are righteous for just saying sorry once? How many times have you done wrong? I thank you for being kind with your words, but I've heard it all before. Kindness is just another form of blindness. I do not take satisfaction in what is kind. I take it in what is good. And then he says, if you care for the absolute truth, put aside your feelings. They're your natural defense mechanism, and they get you nowhere. So at this point, I'm kind of confused because this guy doesn't appreciate me being respectful or kind to him. So I'm like, where do I go from this here? How do you deal with someone that's like, you try to be kind with them and they're like, nope. And then, so somebody else says something, and then he says, Joe Bob says, how is a child to learn if not to understand positive reward and negative consequence? Well, I agree with you there. And that's why I think the Bible was our training manual to get us to where we are today so that we can finally understand and embrace the true nature of who we are and the bigger picture of reality. The Christian God, who goes by many other names, we call him Damballa or Albatala. This isn't something I wrote. This is just a side note. But I believe that he put the Bible, like the Bible is in place because you don't teach a kid how to use fire until they're old enough to respect the fire. So I believe that the Bible was a good manual for the last 2,000 years, but now it's time for us to take the next step in humanity. But that's a side note. So let's get back to this conversation. So someone else says, God created us with free will, then why are we considered sinners? What was his purpose of giving us free will to just see us as being sinners? And Joe Bob says, because everyone has done evil and thought of evil, even the very first humans. It was made an uphill battle since that first sin, but still we are given the choice. Seriously, read the Bible, dude. You will see everything clearly. There's no point arguing with someone who doesn't have a knowledge and is not willing to have knowledge of the Bible. If you go and read it and then ask me a question to which I cannot answer, then perhaps you have a basis for argument against God, but that has never been done because it is a literal book of all truth, all knowledge, and all things good. Again, think about the context of this group. It is about sharing everybody's idea from different religious viewpoints, and Christianity has done a lot of harm in being aggressive and saying it's the only way. So this guy's comments might be appropriate in a specifically Bible study thread, but he is in somewhere where we are all trying to learn and understand all of the world religions and paths to spirituality. And then they go on and he gets in a little tiff with somebody else, and I wasn't a part of this conversation. And then, so when I finally pop back in, I say, let me ask you guys this. Everyone talks about heaven, but no one ever says what you do when you get there. How do you think that we can live in perfection without... How long do you think you can live in perfection without losing your mind? Eternity is a very long time to be in an existence with no problems whatsoever. Joe Bob, I'm glad I asked Joe Bob, I'm glad I asked so I know your motives. If you are here solely to tell everyone else that they are wrong, then I will do you the same courtesy. You know, the golden rule and all. You speak of quelling your doubts and trusting a book. When you align yourself with the divine truth, you experience the truth directly, and you need not look to a book. this other person, name redacted, is just starting his journey of self-discovery, because this guy who I'm talking about just like had an amazing revelation the same night I did, which is another story entirely. And he wrote all these fractured notes and things, and that's where this conversation got started. So I'm saying this person is just starting his journey of self-discovery. Existence is insanely complicated, unfathomable, in fact, and if you think man could capture the essence and the truth of all that is in a single book, then you are being willfully ignorant. It's easy and convenient to believe all the answers are in this book telling us to be subservient because we were born fucked up, so I must grovel until my dying breath to make up for it. Once you believe you have all the answers, then you stop looking for the truth. The church knew this and knows it now, which is why they edited the Bible the way they did. And again, side note, if you guys don't know, the Vatican has so many books that didn't even make it to the Bible. What do you think is in those books? And why do you think, another side note, why do you think things like Hinduism and things actually show you practices to raise your levels of consciousness and they actually show you the way through meditations and practices, but Christianity, which had been forced on everyone, doesn't have any of that. It just has, you must be subservient to God. So there's the side note. So back to this. So I say, look at you now, so rigid in your belief that you deny all of creation except what fits into your lens. This is exactly what the church wants you to believe. The church is run by man. To seek the truth, you need not look to a book or another man, for when you look outward, you only see another's viewpoint. When you look inwards, that's where you find the deepest of divine truth, that we are all godly beings capable of wondrous things. I can't find that for you. No one can but you. Once you open your mind to new experiences, only then will you be able to find the truth. But spirituality is completely personal, so if you want to believe you are an unworthy ingrate whose whole existence is to apologize and make amends for someone else's mistake, then you go right ahead. Life is about learning lessons, and as long as you're learning, you are not wrong. If you believe you can learn all there is in a single lifetime, that is unfortunate. Learning is what drives the reincarnation process. Then I say, Joe Bob, how long did it take you to read the Bible? You think that's as long as it takes to have all the answers? What do you do with the rest of your life now that you have achieved supreme enlightenment from a book? Oh, never mind. Your idea of enlightenment is groveling on your knees, paying for your sins here on earth. Gotcha. Pretty gloomy outlook on life. I also feel the need to bring up the fact that one of your arguments is that it's called the Book of Life. Dude, I can write a book called The Secrets of the Universe, and a couple of centuries from now, some poor sad sap can believe I had all the answers and put them in a book because it's called The Secrets of the Universe. Also, kindness is another form of blindness? Geez, dude, I'm sorry that you live in a masochistic reality where we're all shit and being kind is something one cannot take satisfaction in. And then some other guy was that kind of agreed with Joe Bob, popped into the conversation, who was also very knowledgeable about the Bible, but he was speaking to me with like respect, and I was speaking to him with respect because this is what we're here in this group for, to learn, and I listen to what he says and I think about it. And I to which I respond, I normally don't come that aggressively at anyone unless they reflect that themselves. So to this other guy that was actually talking respectful to me, I said to him, well said. Yahweh to me, he was talking about Yahweh as the supreme God and everything, and yeah, okay. And I said, Yahweh to me is Abatala or Damballa or Cronus. To me, he is the creator energy closest to source energy. Source energy being the sole source of all that is, everything in existence. Then from Abatala, we continue to the next generation of deities such as Shango, Zeus, Odin, Hades, Lucifer, etc. There are beings of light and shadow that have been responsible for many deities and angels / demon mythos around the world and throughout time. I believe that we are the next generation of these energies, and the ritual in which we work with them is almost irrelevant. It's all about your intent and the belief. I am supportive of all religions and practices because I believe our personal spiritual practices should be unique to us as our own fingerprint. The problem with mainstream religions is they fit everyone into one set of spiritual practice, which is not the way. I only have a problem with people who say others are wrong. The universe works together in such a mind-bogglingly beautiful harmony that knowing specific names of deities is often irrelevant depending on the practice and intents you have. We are all separate parts of a whole. To put it in perspective, we are the artist, and does the painter need to know every ingredient in the paint he is using to apply to the canvas and transmute it into a masterpiece? Well, you could most certainly find out all of the ingredients, but would it improve your art? Probably not. And what's truly important is the art itself and the creation thereof. So to sum it all up, while we have different viewpoints, there is common threads that bind our theologies, and I believe in your practices because it works for you, and all I ask is that you return the same courtesy. Now, Joe Bob jumps back in, and he says, Sig, dude, don't go and twist my words to support your hurt feelings, simply because you choose not to understand but fight my words. My motives don't matter, nor are they what you say they are. You just wish to make an enemy of what does not support worship to yourself. I worship the Creator, and I allow His will to be mine, and if you knew Him, you would know that this is not a blind journey, but one that opens your eyes to all matters, and especially your sins. How are you possibly to grow and do good if you keep telling yourself you are the definition of good and divine? Even Christians do this. So personally, I don't care for what religion anyone says thereof, but I listen to their words for words when truly listened to shows not just their intent, but their meaning. Every person would like to think that they are good because they all deeply only care for their own power and being better than others, and saying you're good rather than embracing that you are bad is more comforting. The path of Christ helps you to recognize that we are here to serve one another, not rule over one another. Okay, don't really think I said I was trying to rule over anybody, but you know, he continues. I have not said that you should disregard everything that is not in the Bible. Okay, but you kind of did. What would be the point in life then? Why not make us perfect, bland, and identical from the start then? Hell, why even make us at all? I'm saying the Bible is the absolute to refer all of our subjective experiences to. Otherwise, you're running around justifying what you have felt and what others have felt, and that leads nowhere, because when you die, you do not get to choose where you go. Well, to me, I mean, I have to justify my own experience, right? he continues, I'm also saying that the Bible is entirely authoritative, and if you cared to read it yourself, you may realize this. Everyone assumes whatever they like about it without even doing their own research. It's not just some storybook made up by men. It is a literal manual provided with all purposeful context, and no matter how many times you read it, you will learn something. Whatever negative thought you have about God is created and sustained by you. He is the only one who is good, and he can only do good, and you best believe he is not just a state of mind. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He has no beginning nor end. He sees all, yet is all. He exists within, also outside of all things. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with him on some of those points, but also I never said I had any negative thoughts about God. Don't know where that came from. And he continues. So how could you possibly understand what this person... So he's referring to the other guy that actually spoke to me with respect. He said, how can you possibly understand that guy, what he has said, if you've assumed such evil of my own words? If you understood, you could see they reflect his. You have read around his message and chosen to use what suits you to derive more worship of yourself. In truth, they are not my words nor Micah's. When you have unconditional faith in God and seek Him through Jesus Christ, the doors are open and He speaks through you. This is also why the Bible's authors are not really mentioned greatly. They are the words of God, not of those men. And why unconditional faith? Because His love is unconditional for you. Despite all the wrongs of humanity, which you continue to blame God and all others for, He still reaches down His hands to you and all others. If not for the atonement of Christ, then we'd all be sacrificed to hellfire, because not a single one of us is worthy of God. Not you, not I, not the first man or woman who has lived. To that I have to say, well, what the fuck is the point of anything? I didn't write this, but this is my side note for that. If none of us are worthy of anything, then what's the fucking point? We might as well just be grubs on the sidewalk baking in the sun. Do you think any God would create us just to be unworthy creations that just wallow in self-pity? Okay, so then he continues again. So cool, have a different opinion, but don't go and make up blasphemous remarks about something you know nothing of. God can only be known through the Bible. He and the Word are of the same. You do not know God, but only His creation, and you worship that creation instead of acknowledging He who created it. It does not matter how small or large the creation is that you worship either. Some worship ego, technology, food, fashion, energy, and other gods alike. It does not matter in the slightest. Without acknowledging the All-Father and bending the knee for the wrongs you have committed against Him, you are not forgiven, and you are not righteous of anything, nor shall you know the truth of anything. damn, dude, he's raining the fire and the brimstone upon me. Also, I've never, to this point, I've never mentioned that you shouldn't respect God. Respect for yourself is not disrespect to God. I want everybody to know that. And know that my stance on this, I do believe in a creator God, and I do respect him. But I don't believe that he created us fucked up, and we must, like, repent and spend our lives feeling sorry for fucking up. That's not the point, man. He says, there are three choices about Jesus. He is either a liar, a hypocrite, or is he our Lord. He helps to know as much as you... He helps to know as much as you can about... It helps to know as much as you can about him before you make your decisions to this. So to that, I responded, do you see how you talk to me, Joe Bob? You consistently deny my truth. I don't need to twist your words, as you are very bold in what you say. I never claim to be better than anyone. In fact, I've said multiple times that we are all divine beings, you included. It's up to you to embrace that or not. At the end of the day, if what you're doing is working for you, then you are following the right path. I never said I'm here to rule over anyone. In fact, I'm actively working for the good of humanity. I'm working to lift the veil and inspire everyone to embrace their divinity, their own divinity, and the power, not sin or guilt, they were born with, to shape this world into the pinnacle of collective human achievement. Also, don't get it twisted. I have no negative thoughts about God. I work with your God and others on a daily basis. The universe is a complicated place that is not as simple as the Bible puts it. What are your thoughts on all other religions that are pre-Christianity? You think all those religions arose out of nowhere? There's a major shift happening, and you'll start to see major changes if you know what you're looking for. Mankind is in the middle of a great awakening. I understand the dude that was talking to me respectfully because how he communicates with respect. You just sling hellfire and damnation and tell everyone they are wrong. If you want to believe you were born a sinner and you have to spend your whole life making amends, you are more than welcome. You have absolutely every right to punish yourself every day of your life. You don't, however, have the right to tell anyone they are wrong. There's a finesse to communication which you are unfortunately lacking. If you would like to communicate on a deeper level, why not try pumping the brakes a little bit? I would value your opinion and insights on the Bible if you didn't douse everything in a holier-than-now Christian righteousness. I'm here to work with the gods, embrace my divine nature, create, and do my part to balance planet Earth. Whether you believe that or not is up to you, but if you'd actually like to learn and grow, or at least discuss in a civilized manner, drop the telling everyone they are wrong bullshit. You are making a lot of assumptions that I don't know God. I never said you do not. I just know him differently than you do, and neither of us are wrong. Whew. So, here's the thing, is like, I'm using a lot of terms like, I'm starting to learn to be an irreverentist and learning all of the theologies and the mythos, then you can tailor your conversation to people of a certain mindset so that you can still connect with them. So I use a lot of the terms. I speak of God as, you know, the Christian God here, but like I said, I know him differently than that. But I wouldn't make any ground here, and I would nothing I said would connect with this guy if I didn't speak in terms that were relative to him. So another point to remember in talking to people is that if you're talking about touchy subjects, sometimes you have to change your terminology so that you can connect with them. Because if you are using people get so caught up on labels that they don't understand that labels are quite irrelevant. It's all the same energies. It's all the same stuff. So something to keep in mind if you're having a religious conversation with other people. So, and then I said, like, for real, man, I would definitely love hearing how the Bible fits into the topics being discussed. But every time you chime in, you have to say, the Bible says this. Oh, and also you're fucking wrong because whatever you just said is not in the Bible. Like, for real, man, if you want to enlighten us all with your Bible knowledge, please, by all means, do that. But don't be a Bible-thumping asshole about it. Is that fair enough to ask? The way you talk to people is exactly why Christianity gets a bad rap. And then it's a pretty long time before he responds. I think he spent the whole day stewing on this. So Joe Bob comes back with, I don't care for your truth. I could go and make up some garbage that half satisfies my existence and leaves me with endless questions and also, but I'm not going to declare that as my truth or my truth either. There is only one truth. Every other experience is only a signpost to lead to that truth. Every religion, every belief other than one in Christ will be left with unanswered questions. Also, remember this guy said he had doubts before. I just want to throw that in there. So I'm getting the feeling that he is clinging to the Bible because it makes sense to him. And that's fine. It makes sense to you, but he's clinging so tightly that he is saying everybody else is wrong. But nobody's wrong. If it works for you, it works. He continues, "There's not a thing I have asked of Christ that has not been revealed to me, more often than not through hardship, because what you ask is never handed to you on a silver platter. If it is, then you are being led away by some powerful and dark forces, but no match for God. Do not trust such a thing. I've worshipped these beings blindly before having met God, and I even have the scars to prove their assault. It is not my job to rein you with scripture either. Christ quoted scripture to the Pharisees, and they hated him with every inch of their being for pointing out they were sinners and far from righteous men. You level yourself to these Pharisees by declaring righteousness without repentance. Everyone must invite Christ into their hearts of their own free will to know him and to know God. Your idea of God is not who God is at all. I've done a lot of repentance and changing of my ways to be able to hear God, and more often than not, he is pointing out our wrongs, not telling us we are right." Okay, that's kind of fucking weird. I don't know. That doesn't sound like someone that is encouraging you to grow, but, you know, hey, to each his own, right? He continues, "But it pays to listen to him, because the gift of rebirth is like no other. To sacrifice one's pride is to receive this gift. To believe in Christ is to receive this gift. And you will fall on your knees overwhelmed with tears of sorrow, then joy when you do receive this gift." I have to add here that I've had divine experiences of insanely emotional revelations, and I've felt the energies, and I have felt the energies of the gods. And this is very real to me. And I believe this guy has too. He just has a different idea of who God is to me. So if God is all knowing, you know, if he's everything, he can manifest himself in different ways in your life. Does he have to be the same God to the same people? No, he probably tailors himself to the needs of the people. Whew. And again, this conversation is focused mainly on the Christian God and Albatala, Dambala, or Cronus, which we're mainly discussing that, but also, like we've said before, I work with the other deities as well, who would be considered his children, like Shango, Zeus, you know, Lucifer, Hades, all of these. We also, but our conversation is mainly on the Christian God right now, which I think this is important for people to hear. I hope you're enjoying this. He also continues, "Christianity is not like other religions. The Bible is not a storybook, nor is it open to interpretation. Jesus is God. No experience of mine is going to convince you of this, because faith is not something you can argue. It is only something you can believe with conviction of your heart and soul. And you can sit here all day saying this is why people don't like Christians, but the evil is in your heart for deranging and mystifying my words. Take them as they are with absolution, not how you feel about them." I don't think I'm deranging or mystifying any words. I'm getting his message very loud and clear here. This was like, I was kind of like, all right, I'm not going to get anywhere with this guy. And I kind of felt defeated and, you know, I don't know. But so I put my phone down and I tried to go to sleep. And that day I had just learned about Kuan Yin, and who is also synonymous with Chen Rezig, who is a bodhisattva and is the embodiment of, like, the Buddhist embodiment, and also has different variations through, you know, different religious thoughts. But basically, Kuan Yin is like the embodiment of compassion. And I believe that I've been learning from Kuan Yin in my dreams, because there are some days that I will wake up and I have faint memories of, like, the sweetest voice just teaching me about energy manipulation and things. And I can't remember anything that she said. I just remember the feelings and the faint whatever I was learning. And I believe that deities can teach us things in our dreams. But, and ironically, I look it up, and Kuan Yin is also associated with feng shui and the flow of energies. I did not know that before. But this is examples of how I hear something from a deity and then I look it up, and then I had no way of knowing that, and it turns out to collaborate or, you know, confirm whatever I said. So I thought about Kuan Yin and I was like, you know what? I'm going to switch my gears here. I'm not. And then I also learned a lesson too, not too long ago, that any experience, any situation, no matter how volatile it's getting, can always be turned around with a single sentence. Really remember this. If you're arguing with people, and you're getting heated and you're just upset, remember that every moment you have the choice to turn it around. Don't get swept up in your emotions. This is where emotional mastery comes into play. Because you hit a certain point and you are just fucking angry, and you know that person's angry, and then there's a point where you just want to hurt that person. So you're gonna you know you got those little things in the chamber that you're like, oh, if I fire this off, it is fucking on. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Everybody's got them, especially with like your significant other. Oh, you got the deep shit on them, but it's like you're like, oh, do I want to cross that today? Well, am I angry enough to cross that line today? Just remember, you can always turn it around. And I've been trying to employ this, and it's like had amazing results. So here we go. I completely flip my tone with this guy because I can tell he's got a lot of, like, I know he has had a divine experience, and I know he's got a lot of heart. He's got a lot of knowledge about the Bible. But my main issue is that he's just telling everybody they're wrong. And yeah, I told him he's wrong earlier. But like I said earlier, I'm reflecting back what he is reflecting at me. And I was feeling the fire of anger. And this is kind of a, I think of things in the elements now. I was channeling fire back at him. And sometimes fire burns away things to renew something. So I've said the fire, and now I'm going to switch to the water and the feminine and the, you know, the emotional, just compassion. So I thought of Kuan Yin. And so here's how I changed my tune. He said, Joe Bob, buddy, I'm really trying to understand why you are here. You literally said earlier you are here to dispense your Bible wisdom for our benefit and your own through practice study. Now you say you aren't going to enlighten us with your Bible knowledge. Now you say you're not going to enlighten us with your Bible knowledge. You also say you do not care for my kindness or respect because kindness is blindness. I truly want you to be a part of this conversation, and I'm making a real concerted effort to understand you so we can both learn from one another. But you always seem to take an aggressive stance towards everything. I try to respect your views, and you say, fuck your kindness. I ask you to share your knowledge of the Bible, which is what you said earlier that you are here for, and you say, fuck you, you blasphemous Pharisees. Like, for real, buddy, I'm really trying. You assume that what I'm given has come on a silver platter. You have no idea what I've been through. I've got scars too, man, we all do. We're playing on the same team here, but you're going out of your way to create division, which is the ugliest face of Christianity. Your attitude is the exact stance that has driven people away from spirituality and away from God. You don't reach people by pointing out all the ways they are wrong, but you say this is what God does to you, constantly shows you that you are wrong. Do you think a compassionate God wants his children to wallow in their own mistakes? I almost feel like you're crazy hard on yourself for some reason. You don't have to punish yourself all the time. I have to truly and honestly ask you again, with respect, even though you apparently hate that, what are you here for? What do you wish to gain from this group? Because anytime I try to gain something from you or impart something to you, both situations are met with hostility. I care about you, dude. We're all in this crazy shit together. We are all separate parts of a whole, and together we all win. I don't believe you are here by accident. There are no coincidences. But why are you so volatile? I truly wish to know because I truly care about you. So this is, I was really, really trying to have a heart-to-heart here, because even though all of my anger and the fire and stuff told me, let's just keep fucking pushing this guy's buttons, I was like, man, there's something here. Like, this guy, he gets half of it. And all I want him to do is be more accepting and understanding. Like, he can totally be convinced that his truth is exactly all in the Bible, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But what's wrong is when you start telling other people you're wrong. So I switch my gears, and then this is how he responds. Joe Bob says, I say what I do with unwavering certainty. Can you say the same? Why do you search for objective truth still if so? What resource or experience could possibly answer any dispute to God? Every dispute can be answered via the gospel of the Bible. Gospel literally means good word. And if you've already accepted that he exists, why on earth are you seeking to tell yourself and others who he is rather than asking him for yourself and reading about him yourself? He sent his word and then his son, and still you'd rather tell him who he is. No one appreciates getting told they are someone who they are not, especially the father of all creation. To add a side note to this, I've talking about my personal experiences, like I want everybody to know I didn't go looking for God. The gods found me. And now I feel like I have a duty to share what I'm learning. And it's not in a selfish way. It's not in a, I think I'm better than you. My message is that everybody is divine and everybody has the power of creation and divine power. Like, I'm trying to inspire everybody because we have a major crisis of ourselves and who we are as a culture. We don't believe that we're worthy, and this stems from this Christian idea that we're not worthy. So we're stuck in this like weird masochistic reality where we don't believe in ourselves, and we don't. So therefore, like, to hate yourself is to hate God, man. Like, if we're one and the same, this is where I'm at here. I'm not trying to. Again, I don't think I'm better than anybody else. I have a purpose now, and my purpose is to inspire you, to light the fires of the collective human, like, imagination and being, you know? So he says, I'm like, oh, shit. He kind of does a little 180 here. He says, I could perhaps be more tolerant in my approach. I am no perfect human. My patience does grow thin quickly when people read around my words, however. I keep telling you how God is different from what you are saying, and you're just going, nah, no, he's not. I've met him too. Like, nah, dude, doesn't work like that. You can only meet him through surrendering to Christ, and I don't know how many times I gotta say that. See, again, he's starting to change, but he's still saying that through Christ is the only way, which is, you know, it's his way. Absolutely, 100%, it is his way to get there. But it's not my way, and it doesn't have to be everyone else's way. There are more ways than that. And just so you guys know, I'm going to do probably a whole episode on Jesus. I absolutely 100% believe that he was divine, and I think he was a bodhisattva. He came back, he had enlightenment, and he came back to try to show us the way. But mankind is not ready to be shown the way because you saw what they did to the motherfucker. They slung him up on a cross and killed his ass because he was trying to show you guys, like, look, guys, we can heal each other with our hands. We can do all this stuff. And they're like, oh, fuck, no, dude, this guy has to go. So that's what happened. We weren't ready for that. So again, the Bible is the training wheels so that we would develop our own consciousness. And I truly believe, I don't believe that there is a hell. I truly believe that we needed the idea of hell for the last two centuries to grow our infrastructure, grow culturally, grow technologically, and so that we would have a conscience. Because now, who I am today, if there was no hell and I knew I wouldn't be punished for it, I still wouldn't go out and kill or rape somebody because that's fucked up. Why would you do that? But I don't need a hell to scare me from doing that. I know deep down in myself that is not the case. But back in the day, not everybody had that. They needed this like scary, fiery inferno place that you would go to if you were fucked up. So again, I don't believe there is a hell, but I don't believe in being a shitty fucking person either. With great power comes great responsibility. And again, we needed the idea of hell to get where we are today. So there's my thought on that. And then he says, I do not try to condemn any of you by saying what I have. Let me stop you right there. I don't know. Do we need to roll back the tape a little bit? And all the times that you've basically told me I'm fucking wrong. Anyways, he continues. And I see that you care. Truly, no one that seeks truth is one who is undeserving of finding truth. But if many tell you where they have found absolute truth and you're still going, nah, I'm going to find it my way, how hopeful are you that you can indeed find it? So now he's like starting to ask the right kind of questions. I like this. This is good. Like, I can work with this because he's not telling me I'm wrong. He's actually just legitimately curious about my understanding and my attempt at finding truth. So this is good. We're making progress. See? And then if you guys are ever having a conversation like this, think about that. Start to notice that when the conversation turns, and now he's asking the right kind of questions. So he says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one shall reach the Father except through me. Seems pretty literal to me. I wish this group to be one where we can uncover the greater works of God, but everyone first must surrender themselves to God, or simply the information will be fragmented and it will take far too long to learn these things. Again, if this were just if this was just a Bible Christianity study group, that would be a completely appropriate thing to say. But this is all about the world religions and us coming together to understand something. So, to that, I say, In any of our reactions, Joe Bob, did I ever tell you who God is? God is different to all of us. God is your personal relationship to God. Why can't you accept that who God is to me is different because we are different people? No two people have the same relationship with the same person, and the same can be said about God. He manifests in our lives specific to us. I don't read around your words because I 100% believe that the God you know is the God you know. I've never told you that your personal relationship with God is wrong. The closest thing I did was pose a question. Would a compassionate God want his children to wallow in their mistakes? Or follow in his footsteps and embrace their divine creative nature and be fucking creative badasses? I didn't say the creative badass part, but I wish I would have added that when I wrote it. Oh shit, I just heard the doorbell ring. I think my book, The Kabbalion, is here, which, spoiler alert, or just a promo, I am going to be reading The Kabbalion and probably going through chapter by chapter because I think this book is very powerful. And it's by the three initiates, and it's basically the Hermetic principles. And I think if we want a deep understanding of the universe, these are the principles that were written way long time ago, and now quantum physics are proving to be correct. So what's funny is, well, that's the difference. I'm getting caught up on that. But let's get back to this. Okay. So look forward to those Kabbalion episodes. Oh, yeah. Or follow in his footsteps and embrace their divine creative nature. I don't want you to punish yourself, man. That's no way to live. You can have a relationship with God that is one of love, compassion, and inspiration, not repentance and unworthiness. You keep assuming that by seeking my truth, I am saying you are wrong. That's not the case. Your truth lies in your heart. You mentioned dancing around my words, but you still haven't answered why you're truly here. And then I also said, okay, see, there's your first mistake, is that you expect everyone to submit to your idea of God. Demanding submission is not how learning and discussion works. Joe Bob says, is a being that is absolute different to everyone? Is a being that is absolute different to everyone truly? It is not my truth. I am but a vessel. I know these concepts are hard to understand and more so to accept. I fought with myself to mental exhaustion with figuring out just who God is. I only found him when I accepted I didn't know who he was and when he's told me more. This is what repentance does. It accepts our wrongs and then allows a small victory to say you've done the right thing by acknowledging your mistakes. Keep going. I feel like there's some truth in what he's saying there, but it's kind of a backwards way to put it. I don't think it's always a small victory. I think when you start, I've often said, your life progresses at the rate in which you learn. Once you learn your lesson, then you move past it and you stop making the same mistakes. So Joe Bob continues and he says, I still don't know who God is entirely, though, of course. I'm just saying this is the way to learning about him. Then I said, you know, instead of expecting everyone to conform to your view, what if you tried expressing yourself in a non-aggressive way in the hopes that you just might ignite a fire of inspiration within someone else? And knowing that you have your steadfast beliefs, there's nothing wrong with listening and thinking about others' viewpoints. Just listening and thinking doesn't mean that you believe it. And who knows, you might actually find a little nugget of knowledge that actually enriches your own current beliefs. It's through different perspectives that we enrich our lives. That's why we exist as separate beings, so creation can experience itself. Dude, a being that is absolute is exactly that. It can be absolutely anything. God is who you need him to be. Joe Bob says, this is correct. How are we to distinguish who we need him to be and who we want him to be, however? And I said, well, wouldn't you think if he is all, then he would be both? Joe Bob says, not at all. Do we not want many things that we know would do us harm? And to which I say, also, I have to say thank you, Joe Bob. I am very much appreciating the turn of the tone of our conversation. See, we're discussing and it's great. Once a conversation turns, you need to acknowledge that the conversation has turned and with positive reinforcement, like just call it out, have a heart to heart. Be like, man, I'm glad that we're actually able to talk right now. Because I actually truly am. Like, he actually started to think about what I was saying instead of saying I was wrong the whole time. He's asking me questions and I'm giving answers. And then I'm asking him questions and he's giving me answers. That's how a discussion works. And we're really getting somewhere. And then so I responded. He said, do we not want many things that would do us harm? And I said, anything that would do us harm are demons guiding you to your downfall. And again, the term demons is sort of, I particularly, it's... It's not what you think it is, but I just use this term because, again, I'm speaking in terms of Christianity, and if I tried to explain to him what I thought demons were, it's just, I'm not going to get anywhere. You have to, like, focus in on, like, the true point of your goal here is to a mutual understanding, not to get caught up on semantics or your own terms, okay? There's a little tip for you when you're having discussions. So he says, and then he responds to me thanking him for the turn of discussions. He says, "That's okay. I appreciate when someone has the tolerance to point out my wrongs, for I can be arrogant in my approach at times." Holy shit! Now we're getting somewhere, dude! Fuck! So I said, "Ask without hidden motive and be surrounded by your answer." Oh snap! Didn't know I had a Bible verse for you, did ya? When what you desire is pure, then there's no need to feel bad for desiring it. So Joe Bob says, "If self-reflecting, is this not an example of what I've previously attempted to say about growth? That it takes acknowledgement of one's wrongs and not what is thought to be right to move forward? I suppose it is, then, to question what is pure? And on your previous message of it being demons, does this not call to blame another being than ourselves? We indeed do have control, for the most part. Are demons invited of our free will just as God can be invited of our free will?" Man, I'm so stoked at this point. He's like asking me legit questions, and this is good. Like, are you guys stoked listening to this? Because I was stoked when this conversation got to this point. So I said, again, like, we just formed a little bit of a friendship here. So I'm going to keep it going, and I'm going to, like, and when I'm, like, breaking this conversation down, I'm not saying that what I'm saying to him here is false. Like, I truly believe what I'm saying, and I'm being sincere and genuine about it. I'm just also telling you guys, because I feel like people have forgotten how to have conversations and how to come to an understanding. So this is what I want to impart to you guys on how to understand things. So I said, "I know you got a lot of knowledge in that noggin of yours, and you got a lot of passion in your heart. I dig that about you. It's all about how you self-reflect. If you get hung up on every mistake you've ever made, you spend your life reminding yourself of your failure. When, if you drop that weight, it frees you up to be a badass warrior of God. You are of God, so to shame yourself is to shame God. To love yourself is to love God. I think you misunderstand and think I'm trying to say that I think I'm better than God. No, I don't think that at all. I'm a part of God, and He is my ancient badass all-wise teacher. Free will is the great equalizer. It's mankind's greatest power, and it's his greatest curse. You have all manner of beings try to sway you in all sorts of directions, but deep down your higher self, the self that is connected to God, always has your best interest in mind. It's that angel on your shoulder when you're faced with a decision." So he said, Joe Bob says, "Interesting." Look at that. He said, "Interesting." That means I got him to think about what I'm saying. Then he asks, "Why is Christ so adamant on repentance, would you think? Thank you for your kindness and tolerance also, brother." Look at this, man. We are actually have a genuine moment of connection. And then I go back to thinking about Kuan Yin, and I'm just so thankful. Like, again, I want to give a shout out to Kuan Yin here, because she, thinking of her energy, is what helped me to guide this conversation back on the right track. And again, this is an example of how to work with the gods and the energies, is that their emotion, their elemental, their, we all know the archetypes, and when you think of them, think of how to employ them and how to employ their specific archetype in a certain situation. She's one of love and compassion, so I switched gears, and I felt like I got a message from her to say, hey, be more compassionate. And you know what my energy feels like. Try this out. And I did, and now look what we're getting, man. Like, he's, like, asking me legitimate questions. He's actually listening to what I'm saying, too. And I've been listening to what he's saying. I listen to what everybody says, and I really think about it. But I've just got Joe Bob to finally listen and think about what I'm saying. Like, that's fucking phenomenal. Like, that's a big deal, man. Because this guy was a hard Bible thumper, and I was like, there's no way I'm getting through to this guy. But I shifted gears, man. And look what happened. So then I say, "I also want to apologize earlier for mirroring my aggression back at you. It's not in my nature. I'm just really trying to get people to come back to spirituality. And there has been a tremendous damage done to the world by Christians and their aggressive and divisive rhetoric. Again, we're all in this together, and I really appreciate you taking the time to think about what I'm saying. This conversation is a learning experience for both of us, and I really thank you for the opportunity to learn from this." All right. And here's the thing. I didn't think that I was going to learn anything from this guy because I thought he was so rigid in his beliefs. But actually, this guy taught me how to be understanding and talk to someone with such rigid beliefs. See, you always got to look at life as a learning experience. And I've learned so much. This is like, this conversation with this guy has been so enlightening to me, man. And I hope that I hope this is a conversation that is helping and is enlightening to all of you, because we all need to practice how to come to understanding with the people in our lives, because we're all going to have different viewpoints, but we got to stop being so polarized. We have to make allowances and we have to start to try to understand each other, because we are all one and we're going to fuck this shit up if we don't start understanding each other. So back to the conversation. I said, all right, let's try to talk this one out together about why Christ is all about repentance. I'll give you my take on it, and then you give me your take, and maybe we can figure out something together, because I don't think I have a full answer for that. See, I'm encouraging a back and forth and a healthy conversation. And so I say, okay, I think if we look at this in modern language, it makes more sense. Repentance seems like a really strong word, but what I think he's trying to say, especially in a modern context, is that we all fuck up. It's a part of learning. But a mistake is only a mistake if you don't learn from it. If you don't feel bad for fucking up, then you're likely to keep fucking up. So he's saying, all right, dude, when you're ready to come to God, you'll see how shitty you've been, and you'll now actually try to do better. You've actually learned a lesson. That's what God ultimately wants, is for us to learn and grow. If we get caught up on our mistakes, we also don't learn anything except how to hate ourselves. That's my take on it, you know? And looking at this through a Christian lens, that's my take on it. But again, like I've said, I look at things in a much wider lens, but sometimes we gotta focus and zoom in and talk concepts out through certain lenses. Nothing wrong with that. And also, again, out there to you guys, don't be afraid to zoom in on a certain lens and talk to people about it through their lens. But when you embrace all knowledge and you have an understanding of many different viewpoints, you're able to do that. It's a key. There's some wise wisdom for you guys right there. So Joe Bob says, I understand what you say, and I look forward to this journey of knowledge. Holy shit. He just said he looks forward to this journey of knowledge. That means he's looking forward to learning stuff. Oh, shit. I think we just done cracked a Da Vinci code, motherfucker. Oh, man, like this, rereading this and reliving it for this podcast, it's like, it makes me really happy, because I've been, for a long time, I've been looking at trying to reach groups of people, but I've forgotten about how powerful it is just to reach one person, because that one person has an entire life that is just as complicated and complex as mine, and they know just as many people as I do, and their reach is just as big as mine. So we have to stop trying to reach groups and start remembering that we need to focus on the individual as well, because each one of those persons is a powerful tool. We're all so important, and just changing one mind filters out, and it's that pay it forward, man. It spirals out into a huge web of life-changing experiences for people, because that one person will go on to change someone else, and it just gets bigger and bigger. So don't neglect the individual. So he said, I understand what you say. he finally says he understands me. That's pretty big. And I look forward to this journey of knowledge. I do see there has been done a lot of damage by Christians, but by all faiths and of no faith also. It's a very generalized statement, and one that via my understanding is because of the persecution against Christians. It's an interesting topic, because God for Christians can cause many to become aggressive. However, Christ and the first Christians and the ones who know scripture well are peace-loving, and this is what I strive for also. Even then, Christ did say, I do not come to bring peace, but a sword. So from my understanding is that the good word is loved, but will bring pain to those who don't wish to hear it. What do you think? Wow, he actually laid out a point, and then he asked me what I think about it. How fucking rad is that? Then he says, also, I would have to question why Christian remain the most persecuted people in the world statistically, also if this wasn't the case. So what of the mistakes we are not aware of, do you think? Must we wait for some occurrence of experience to understand this? I found my comfort in relating my experience back to the Bible. What are your methods of realization? Holy fucking shit, man. He just said, this is how I do it. How do you do it? Whoa, this is fucking huge, guys. Like, huge. How fucking nuts is that? Huh. I have reached this person. I've gotten through to this person with compassion. All it took was just being a little compassionate. And now we're connecting on a level and we're learning from each other. So I say, I totally agree. History has kind of fucked us all up and everybody seems to be bringing swords to the table. I see your point in the fact that Christians would be so defensive. It's just become a no-win situation for all. Part of our great spiritual work in this age is to reopen healthy communication between religions rather than we focus on the damage done, let's try to move forward with a clean slate. Rather than blame any one particular group because history is long and there has been many faults from many groups, I'm all about Jesus and the teachings of the prophet. But again, we must remember to look at how Jesus handled situations. He was cool as a cucumber. He was like, hey, here's the way, guys, but if you don't want to go this way, that's cool. At least I showed you. He didn't get all aggressive and rub it in people's faces how they're wrong. When you say mistakes we are not aware of, what do you mean? My method of realization is if you start paying attention, you'll see God is messaging you all the time, be it with numbers on a clock or a song on the radio. Once you learn that everything in our lives has a meaning, then you can open up an even more direct line of communication with God. I also use meditation, which I highly suggest. If you're able to tune out the noise, you can hear God's guidance very clear, and you know it's the voice of God because his voice touched your heart. You feel the divine truths he speaks to you. And then I say, but Joe Bob, I got to get some sleep now, because this is like 3 a.m. I truly enjoyed our conversation. Thank you for the knowledge you have given me. I'm glad you are part of this group, and I look forward to growing, learning, and discussing with you more. Remember, bring peace to the table, bud. Leave them swords at home. To which Joe Bob says, see, what you have said would make sense to me, but I also see why Christ is to bring a sword. It is said to be the fiery truth that will cut through the veil the world places himself in. In other words, that his gospel will strike truth, but may leave destruction in his path. Perhaps this is just foresight. It is something that can be interpreted, and I prefer not to interpret the Bible, but to understand it for its literalism. However, I do wish to share and learn peacefully with you all, and it seems everyone here has tolerance for understanding, so I'll keep mind of speaking in such a way. Have a good night, Signeutron. Fucking A, guys. Like, I reached this person. I got through to them. We actually had a genuine human interactive moment. And this guy was a hardcore Bible thumper at the beginning. So see, people can be reached. Absolutely 100%. We can reach people. We just have to do it in the right way, and we have to not give up, and we have to not give in to our own emotions. And also, yes, we have to use the fire, but we also can't forget about the tools of compassion and the element of water and connection. I just wanted to read you guys that. Oh, and then I wake up to today, and this guy, Joe Bob, who previously was shooting down all, like, someone posted the Samadhi videos, which I absolutely recommend you take a look at. Samadhi Part 1 and 2 on Gaia TV. All of the stuff that he was shooting down before and saying it was wrong because it was not in the Bible, he went back and now he's asking questions about all of these people, and he's saying, like, you know what? It makes sense that there would be 8 levels of consciousness and things like that. Can you give me more links to information? Can I know about this? And when I went to bed, I pray. And you know, prayer gets a bad rap and it sounds dumb, but really what prayer is it's straight up telepathically speaking with the divine, because these beings are so far advanced that telepathy is a thing. They can talk to us in our minds and we can talk to them with the right intent. And the more you raise your vibrations and the more you clear your channel, the more messages are clear back and forth. So I asked Kuan Yin, I was like, you know, when I went to sleep, please help this guy understand. And, you know, because I want him to learn and I want him to grow, and I don't want him to be thinking that he has to repent and punish himself for his entire life. And I wake up and yeah, he's asking everybody, all the people that he was shunning before, he's asking about more information. It's starting to click with him. And it's like, holy fuck, dude. Like, I helped be a conduit to touch that guy so he could feel the compassion of Kuan Yin and an understanding. And this is how you work with the gods. This is, you're a catalyst, and you can also ask them for things, and you also be inspired by their energies and how what they stand for. There are plenty of times where compassion is not needed to fix the situation. Sometimes you need fire, you need lightning, you need to be aggressive. But sometimes you need to use compassion. You need to use water, air to communicate. So life is a great balancing act, and we can't forget that we're powerful people, and the need for understanding is of utmost importance right now. So please, I ask, if you differ on people's viewpoints, for this week, and you know, for the really make it a concerted effort. If you find yourself in a situation that someone has a differing viewpoint, really try to do your best, even if they're really aggressive at you, try to come to an understanding. Don't lose your cool. Sometimes you might need to spit a little fire back to burn down their wall, but then once their wall is down, then you feel the time is right, switch to the compassion and make the connection. Because we're all in this together, and together we all win. So remember, guys, stay weird, stay open-minded, and if you're not looking, you won't find it. I'm Sig Neutron, and you can follow me on all the evil social medias that I talk about, Twitter and Instagram, at Sig Neutron. I'm also on Twitch, twitch.tv/SigNeutron. Also, please join my community on Discord, the Cigarette Pack. I have a pinned tweet on my Twitter, at Sig Neutron, that you can click the invite link and join us, because I'm having people flood in, and they're like, man, I just found your podcast at the exact right time. And I might start reading some of these messages I'm getting. And I'm getting people emailing me from Sweden and saying that, like, they're finding my podcast at the exact time. All of these things that I've been saying are happening. And I don't mean that in a way of, like, I'm holier than thou and I have all the answers. I'm just saying that I've said from the beginning that people that need to hear this message are going to find it. And that's what people are finally starting to say to me. And that doesn't mean that I'm any special. I'm just a catalyst to dispense the information. I'm just a guy with some puzzle pieces who is putting out the call to find all of you with the pieces so that we can put together the piece of the human puzzle. So together we can complete this puzzle. But before we can do that, we have to realize that our puzzle pieces aren't the entire picture. We need everyone's pieces. So keep that in mind. We're all parts of the puzzle. I also just realized, and I want to point out, that I think it's kind of an odd coincidence. There are no coincidences, that this episode's mainly about Jesus and God and the Christian God, and it also just happens to be episode 33, which is the age that is estimated that Jesus was crucified at. So, a little tidbit for you there.